Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, you provide huge value to small business leaders every morning, one segment at a time. Wow, 20 years.
You've done tons of these interviews, and you've even stopped talking long enough during these broadcasts to listen to all of us.
One of the best shows in the world.
I gotta say, a great lot of fun listening to the music you choose in between sessions.
You're out there fighting the fight for all of us. Congratulations. Keep doing a good job, buddy.
I'm honored to be a member of your Brain Trust.
Welcome back, celebrating the third decade of the Small Business Advocate Show with our good friend David Dossey. I'm Jim Blasingame. David is a partner with Gallagher & Dossey, invention-protection.com. Is that right, Dave?
That's right.
Invention-protection.com. It's not your grandfather's intellectual property patent attorney website, so check that out. And Gallagher & Dossey out of Columbus, Ohio. But you work with people all over the world, like me, don't you?
That's right. Yeah.
So, folks, if you need an intellectual property attorney, if you don't have one, you need one, I encourage you to contact David. So, Dave, we're talking about some of the myths. We're continuing to talk about some of the myths that are holding a lot of people back, I think. I think a lot of small business owners still have the myth that they don't really have intellectual property, that that's for the big companies, when the truth is they're creating it and using it every day. They've got mythology about how patents work. I don't think they look around and say, okay, should I trademark that title? Should I trademark that tagline? Should I trademark that advertisement, the slogan or whatever? Should I register that, or how do I copyright it? There's just a lot of information, a lot of myths out there about those things, aren't there?
Sure. And I think today most new small businesses, you know, majority of them are thinking 5 years from now, we're going to have multiple locations, whether that's in a franchise model or just multiple locations, independent
right.
locations. And if that is your plan, you better be recognizing from day one that it's primarily the intellectual property I have, whether it's just procedures and processes, it's intellectual property nonetheless, and to get that as organized as possible and be careful about, you know, how it's distributed, who has access to it.
Right. There's no question. Well, explain what you mean by who has access to it, how it's distributed. Explain why that's a concern.
Well, as we touched on before, if you think you don't have intellectual property, it could be something as simple as your client list. Well, that's mm-hmm. intellectual property. And guess what? You don't want your client list being on a open side of the directory where every employee has access to it, so that a $30,000 a year employee can jump ship to get a $10,000
mm-hmm.
raise.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that process, it's because, oh, well, I know all of Jim's clients, or, you know, and can easily take a list like that. So anything that is valuable that would cause you great grief, well, you shouldn't have it somewhere that every employee has access to it. And that's another reason to always have good employment agreements with your employees. And you are never too small to think about employment agreements. You know, a lot of people think, oh, that's for a Google or an Amazon or, you know, some giant corporate entity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably more important for a small business, because it, if nothing else, it puts in your employees' minds that you take this serious.
Well, I've had those in place before in my small business. I had people who tried to violate them. I took them to court and I got relief.
Mm-hmm.
I made them stop. They were trying to infringe on my intellectual property. They tried to go around me and to take what they got from me and apply it to their own business. And the court made them stop. I had them sign the things you're talking about.
And that's another thing is. A common myth is, well, if they were my employee, I own anything that they created while on the job. Well, generally, that's true, but you need an employment agreement that explicitly spells out that any intellectual property that an employee develops while on the job is, they will assign it to the company, or actually is automatically assigned to the company. And there as soon as you start in this gig economy of using a bunch of freelancers, mm-hmm. that just gets all the more important.
Right.
Because it can be that anyone, you know, if someone writes software for you, if you don't have a written agreement, don't assume that you own the code. Mad would you be?
We just ran into this yesterday with a company that's done some work for us, some design work for us, and didn't want to give me my design. And I had to explain to them that belongs to me. I paid you for that work. That belongs to me. And you got to pay attention to these things. This is more important today than ever before. And I encourage you to let David help you if you can. Invention-protection.com is his website. Hey, David, good job today. Come back soon.
I'll be happy to.
Thank you. David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen. We always get smarter when David joins us, and so we did today. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.